What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Coach Referee. And I want to ask you, are you ever frustrated with uploading a video to YouTube and you get no views? I know I was when I first started. If you're a music artist and you have your own podcast or your content creator, look no further. WAM Promotions has gotten you covered. They specialize in high-end targeted YouTube campaigns that deliver real views, real subscribers, and most importantly, real growth. So if you're struggling with real organic YouTube growth, I'm here to tell you to go on WAM Promotions and use the promo code GODS and receive 20% when you check out. Tell them Ray sent you, you got 20% off. Let's go, guys. I'm looking to see you guys on the charts. Let's go.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to That's Debatable, powered by Lucky Energy. I'm your host, Stanza Yvette, and I'm back with the guys. Y'all know him as the culture referee, Ray Daniels. Hey, Ray.
Let go. Y'all clap for me. Okay. I got one clap. They're going to lay it out for you, Wayne. You're going to get it banged. Go ahead.
And we have music executive Wayne O'Clark back here with us.
Hey.
Hold on. We got to redo this.
No, okay. Let go. I like that. Let go. That was good. Let go. We know who has a room today. If I win the argument, we know I really won that shit.
The fight's fixed.
We want to hear from y'all. Make sure y'all like, share, and subscribe to the show. And as always, leave comments. If y'all think something they're saying is crazy, or you disagree, or you agree with something they're saying, drop it in the comments. We want to know your opinion. We want to hear your 2 cents. Now, again, thank you to our sponsor, Lucky Energy. It's a clean, all natural drink. There's no preservatives. It's all natural flavors. Thanks for giving us the freedom to fly. Now, y'all already know how this go. We're not talking over each other. And if you hear my gavel, respect the gavel. It's really only one rule, and that's respect my gavel. So, if y'all can agree to that,
I can agree.
You can agree to that.
I'm down.
All right, let's debate.
All right, let's do it.
First things first, we start out with Miss Lotto, Big Lotto, and Brokey. Was it a hit or a miss? I think it was a miss.
I want to tell you.
I think it's a great song, but I think it was a miss.
Two things can be true. I think it is a hit, but it is a miss as well. Mm-hmm. The reason why it's a miss is because look at the history of Lotto. People want to be mad at her. From the moment she came into the game with the name Mulatto, then she had to cut it down to Lotto. Everybody's checking her background and her authenticity, and they try to downplay her because she was a kid on a kid's show with Jermaine Dupri and all of that. They want reasons to be mad. Mm-hmm. Brokey is a good record. It's a good song. But at the same time, the reason why it's a miss is because it's not relatable. Now, it is relatable to her demo, you feel me? It is relatable to the homegirls. You see her in the section with their phones like this and all of that. But as far as the people who has consumed her music on a daily basis, I feel like the people who are a fan of Big Mama might not be a fan of a Brokey, because being broke is a sensitive subject. And all of us have been there. And I think that, you know what I mean? When you start saying it, people feel that, like some people gonna feel that, but shit, When that check on Friday, when your check hit and 90% of it is gone because them bills came, and you hearing somebody bragging, you don't want it. You don't care about how good it sounds. You care about the fact that you ain't got it. So,
by the way, I didn't even think about the people mad at her. I'm gonna say it's a huge miss. But here's why I think it's a miss. And this is no disrespect to Lotto. She's my Southside sister. I love her to death. But artists are making too much money now. Think about how hard the old stars had to work to become multimillionaires. Mm-hmm. In 2024, all you gotta do is drop a hot record and now you're making millions of dollars. And my mentor, shout out to Shaka Zulu, he always told me, he said, new money should never lead with money, right? Because you calling other people brokey, but there's people who could call you brokey. Right? So you almost have to consider how it's gonna be perceived by everyone, right? But here's the biz disconnect that artists are making. They're becoming popular, they're making a lot of money, but they're not doing the work, like the work that needs to be done. And part of the work that needs to be done is always play the character. from what we know, she deals with another rich rapper. So everybody broke around now, right? You can't get so disconnected from your audience. The fame didn't disconnect her. The audience did. Mm-hmm. No, no. The she didn't disconnect from the fame. She disconnected from the audience.
All right.
So she goes up because her money is up. So we might think just because we got $20 million that we up, mm-hmm. but that just might be a hot moment. Mm-hmm. You still got to let the audience grow with you. I'll give you an example. I was trying to sign these, and I don't want to put them on blast, but I'm going to. Remember Ayo and Tayo?
No.
They have a song called I Just Wanna Rolly Rolly.
Oh, yeah,
Rolly.
Yeah, with a
everybody know that
ranch.
Song,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know how you know their second song? Because the second song, they was rich. First song, We Just Wanna Rolly. Everybody can sing that. I just wanna rolly roll. Second song, they was saying, you want me to buy you Gucci? You want me to buy you Prada? You and it was almost like calling people broke.
Okay.
That's why y'all disappeared. You got, if you're gonna come in, mm-hmm. come in humbly state. Jay came in rich. Mm-hmm. He came in 96 saying, I'm still spending money from 88.
That's a fact.
He was rich from the beginning. He's been up. But if you coming in and the audience pushes you up, don't ever, it's like, you know, that's like what Lotto did. That's equivalent to a pastor going in front of a church saying, how the congregation saying, y'all ain't got no damn money, brokies. Like, nigga, you got money because we supported you.
I don't know. I think that the entire song, I think the song is a hit, but I think it was tone deaf. And I think that you have to pay attention to the times. Now, I think this song could have worked at a different time. I think it's different circumstances. Maybe when the Democrats was handing out checks in the pandemic, you could have dropped this.
Oh, that's true.
You could have dropped this. I think that you could have, because right now,
everybody thought they were
right
rich.
Now, eggs is $6. You yes. know, you're talking about a time where most of America is
it's
considered
struggling.
Broke, you know,
it's
where,
struggling.
Or is struggling, yeah. you know. So we look at that. Eggs are $6. You talking about you don't wear shark boots no more. That's a $2,500 boot.
$3,000 boot.
Yeah.
I done bought one before.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so you saying it's
wait, she's through, she, from a woman's standpoint.
You saying that it's played now. We don't even need it. My problem is that white people used to do this to us. Like, you know what I'm saying? We don't even need Ooh. White people to do it no more because we do it to each other. Like, now it's not cool. Once BBLs, you could do buy now, pay later, white women start taking their BBLs out because it was accessible to black people. Lotto is now saying shark boots aren't cool because now the brokies are now making it more accessible. So now I can get it. Now it's not cool. It's same thing. You see people on Twitter talking about people going to Mexico and Jamaica is played. You know, she say in the song, you can't go out the country unless it's, you know, your birthday. And some people,
that's
their reality.
Okay,
that's their reality.
Go ahead. Go ahead. I want to hear what you.
That's their reality.
Go ahead.
Let me tell y'all why both of y'all is wrong.
Tell me.
No.
I'm gonna tell y'all both of y'all. No,
no, no.
I'm gonna tell y'all both of y'all is wrong.
Does I'm right. Go ahead.
Because history repeats itself. Yes, you are correct about Jay-Z coming and saying he had money from 88, right? Him and a good friend of yours made a song one time. Money ain't a thing, right? Lotto, we can't build these artists up and then when it's time for them to celebrate, then kick them down and say, oh, nah, you're not being humble enough. Because guess what? Lotto, it was a certain point in time when we was following Lotto's journey, when she was the cute little girl that started growing into being a woman.
Yep.
And she started changing her content and changing the stuff. We was egging her on. When I've been living in Atlanta for 3 years now. When I first started coming down in 2020 consistently, Queen of the South?
Yes.
Real ass, bitch from the South, right? Yeah. That was the joint. Everybody was championing that. Then she grew to Big D Energy, right? And we celebrated that. She had a pop.
That was our record.
Okay, cool. Doo-doo-doo, you got that. All right, so look. You know, she grew to that. Then it was like, oh, she can't do it again. Then she came with Put It on the Floor, and everybody was celebrating her. She had Cardi on the remix, and they was talking about so many ones, a bitch can't even see the flow. We was all celebrating that. Now, when she done reached another level and it's the time for her album and it's time for her to celebrate, yeah, a lot of the stuff that she's saying is braggadocious, but so was Biggie when he said trying to push 700s, they ain't made them yet. You feel me? So it's like, it's always been a point in time where artists was bragging, and what we gotta take is our personal feelings out of it and look at the aspiration. When I was in 1998, I was about 15 going on 16. I didn't know what a Rob Report was. I didn't know what Jay-Z was talking about. But he made me look things up, and he made me aspire to have things.
Yep.
I couldn't afford them, but I aspired to have them. I wanted to have that shit. So Can I say something? No, I don't rock shark boots, so that blonde ain't bothering me.
But hit me out. No, those shit's expensive. Right. Yeah. But hit me out. Right. You cannot have an audience. So here's the difference between Jay. Jay came in saying he was rich.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're coming in saying I'm an artist trying to come up.
Mm-hmm.
We usher
from
you
Clay
up.
Coded. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
That was tone deaf. That was arrogance. And that wasn't the right people in the room.
That's hip hop though.
I know, but hear me out. But what you got to understand is that that's why rap today. So I just did a video. I'm gonna post this, but rap back in the day, music artists back in the day, they had to be different. No, they had to be special.
Absolutely.
Now you don't have to be special. You have to just be like everybody else.
But she's not special now.
No. Hear me out. Okay. I'm saying if you aren't special. Like, I don't think she's special. She's like everybody else. But everybody is broke now. Like, you got, like, it's like, that's why Bruno, hear me out. Bruno Mars, he was rich when he said, I want to be a billionaire so freaking bad. But that's aspirational.
That was Bruno Mars? That was Bruno Mars?
Yeah, Bruno Mars. I want to be a billionaire so freaking bad. By all the things, like,
wasn't
like,
that Gym Class Heroes?
It was, but Bruno wrote and produced it.
Oh,
and
I didn't know that.
And he sung the hook.
Okay.
That's why I was pointing his word. But my point is that in today's society, you can't be tone deaf. Like, Donald Trump's a billionaire who don't even talk about being a billionaire.
Right.
He's talking to the regular people about how he can help them.
Lying.
That's true. Lotto drew a line in between the sand and said, Brokey's over there. She separated her audience from her, and I guarantee you she wish she could take it back. Because even when she's like, because it's like, man, do you know how many girls haven't been on a plane? Do you know how many girls dream? Like, you are.
No, but I think we've been a little bit unfair only because I understand both of y'all sentiments. If this is Sexy Red making Brokey, that's a different story because Sexy Red represents a certain type of woman. She represents.
Oh, so Sexy Red and Bill, a lot of they talk to two different audiences.
They do talk to two different audiences.
I would love to hear how.
I'm gonna tell you, Sexy Red. We all got a cousin like Sexy Red. We all got a sister. Sexy Red is shorty that work at Target. That on Friday she let the kids with grandma, she going and you in the club and you like, look at them chicks over there wildin'.
And who is Lotto?
Who is Lotto? Lotto is the Nunu girl in
so she got a rich daddy because Nunu had a rich father.
Yeah. I don't think Lotto is lit.
Because to me, Lotto feels like the girl that works at Guess. She don't want to work at Target. She works at Guess.
You know why?
She might be an assistant manager.
It's because being a mean girl right now is not in. It's not in for you to be a mean girl, and that's what it comes down to. And that's coming off as I'm telling you what the girls are saying. This is it came off as. It wasn't nice. That's why she's trying to rectify the situation
Nigga, whole career been a mean girl.
Not on record.
But I'm saying, not on record.
Glad, all you bitches glad, is my son.
I'm glad you brought that
she's
up.
She's talking to rap bitches.
But she talking about.
If Lotto would have said brokies, but these rap bitches are brokies, we wouldn't have cared.
Yeah.
You talk about everybody.
And that's another reason why Nicki is strong arming to earn her flowers to this day because she is mean. She is nasty. And she wants everybody.
That's her biggest Achilles heel.
That's her hurdle is that like, we want to give Nicki the flowers, but she's mean.
Lotto's the people's champ.
Nobody wants
Lotto to. Lotto was the people's champ on she that. She was on that Piscopo, if that's the right word. She's on that line of where she's almost, it's up there is Nicki, Cardi, Meg, Doja. Those are the four at the top. Doja. Those are the four who are actually selling out arenas.
Those are the ones that are selling records and
arenas.
Arenas, yeah.
Sexy Red just sold an arena, but we don't know.
She's on her way.
I think Lotto was considered right behind her, and I think that she's allowed Glow to catch her and Sexy Red to pass her. And that's because Sexy Red is still a hood bitch that's happy being a hood bitch.
Yeah.
And she's making probably just as much money as Lotto. She understands, stay in character, just because you're rich in real life doesn't mean the character's rich in real life.
I know.
And another thing is, you got to think of, like I said, until you're the richest person in your category, you should not be calling nobody broke. Because there's one person in a room that can say, I made what you make in 12. Who's brokey now? Because there's always somebody that has more.
I think we being a little bit too harsh, man. I think we might be. I think for what y'all saying, Brokey would have been a great diss record. Like, if Lotto had a target, it would have been a great diss record. But I do feel like everything that we all said, I think that's always embodied in hip hop. Like, all, like, y'all made great points, but at the same time, it's like, hip hop always been shitting on the. It's always been making you feel like, damn.
But it made us sing along. I got it made, right? I'm the man, not Brokies. Cause you gotta remember when you singing a song, mm-hmm. it comes on. Who we pointing at? Brokey. Like
I'm
you pointing
at
the audience.
I'm telling you, if Lotto is. Lotto, a light skinned chick, man. I'm telling you, that got something to do with it.
Got a lot to do with it.
That got a lot to do with it, bro.
I'm gonna say Lotto. Because you said Sexy Red is the hood chick. Lotto is the hood chick that all of the street dudes that got money want.
Yeah.
She bad as mother, but I'm saying you misstepped and you gotta pull it back because your fan base are girls mm-hmm. who aspire to be like you and you just took a shit on all of them. And now you can't get mad if they don't fuck with you. So, and you can't say, I'm just playing, y'all. Once you put, you know this is your A&R. Once you put a song out, you leave it out there for interpretation.
They accept you how they met you.
They meet it on interpretation. And I believe that. Everyone cheered for Lotto. She was the underdog mm-hmm. her whole career. And now she's showing that she's a mean girl. I think that's a big misstep. By the way, shout out to the team. I don't know how much they had to do with it, but that's a misstep, and they know it's wrong. And by the way, it's okay to admit you misstep. It's okay, even if she came out and said, guys, I made that song, I was frustrated with some girls that was hating on me. Even if you told us who it was for, we would say, okay. But you just left it for interpretation. You fucked up, shawty. Southside shit, you fucked up.
It's Bronx dude talking about you fucked up.
We're going to move on. Going to move on to the next topic. Dum, dum, dum. No. We talking about Diddy's recent arrest. He was picked up on 3 charges. One, a RICO. One was a transportation for prostitution. And the other was sex trafficking. They posed the question, do we believe the feds are taking it too far? I don't think so.
I want to hear what you, I'm definitely.
No, you can start this one. You started the last one.
Okay, you got this one. Yes. I believe that from what I heard, so here's what I'm going to say, they take it too far. The RICO Act was created to take down mob organizations, mm-hmm. right? And it was used to take down mob organizations. So because the bosses didn't do certain things that the bottom guys did. So all you had to do is, the only way you could capture the bosses is if you trap the bottom guys next to the bosses and you put them all together and then you start seeing who turns and who doesn't.
Yeah.
Who else was indicted in Puff's RICO Act?
It's developing.
That's my point. We don't even know who else is who's the organization? Is it him mm-hmm. by himself? Because he ain't do nothing. Let's just be clear. Mm-hmm. Boosie just released a statement. He ain't do nothing that... every man I know doesn't do. Here's what I'm saying. Before people take it far. If you beat your girlfriend up, you should go to jail. But you don't go to the feds. That's not a RICO Act. That's what I'm talking about. Like, if they would have charged him for hitting this woman, different. The RICO Act? You mean to tell me his man is in the federal prison right now for... That's the only thing that we seen that we know for a fact was criminal. We heard it was underage girls, but do we know were they underage? Do he know they were underage?
Well, it's a pipe. So what?
That's what I'm trying to say. It's a lot of stuff that we don't know.
He explained what some of the charges that's within the RICO. So it's comprised of several different charges. There's kidnapping. Cassie's attack in California is what they're calling the kidnapping because he drug her back into the room. There's conspiracy, there's coercion of the potential witnesses, which is why they won't. He offered up his $50 million house as collateral to go out on bail, and they're not going for it because he's silently coercing people to
that's a crime.
That he is a danger to what the federal government is trying to do.
I agree.
However, I do, I think that the charges, because as he explained, it's a bigger system. How many people were being flown in? They've been watching him. So they've been watching these parties. They've been watching what's going on. The people that come in and out of the home, they've been watching. So you fly in, it's a big conglomerate. That's why he got the last charge, which is transportation for prostitution. Because you have droves of women being flown in, 300 women being flown in. How do you explain that?
All right, let me take all my personal bias out of the situation.
I'm trying to, I am too, by the way.
I'm going to take my, because I don't personally know Diddy. I've met him a few times. He's given me some kind words of encouragement. But let me take all that shit out the window. What he's alleged of is not what every guy does.
What was he alleged of? Tell me.
He's alleged of flying sex workers who are men into his home to have sex with his girlfriend while he pleasures himself and watches. Wait a second. I let all y'all
go ahead. I love it.
He also is alleged to have been using drugs, ketamine, Molly, all types of stuff, and giving this to people so that they could keep, I don't know if they said sedated, I can't remember, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, they said they can control the environment.
It's controlling the environment.
Right, controlling the environment. Mm-hmm. Also, with a lot of people here, kidnapping, they literally think grabbing abducting. A child and abducting. No. If I want to leave and Ray jumps in front of me and says, dog, you're not going nowhere.
Or Ray can stop in front of you and say, you're not leaving. Let's talk this out.
Yeah.
You're not going nowhere implies that I'm in power. Yeah. I might just be like, you ain't
you
going nowhere until we finish this.
Right. Hallway, but if I'm still,
but also you got to remember that's interpreted from the person who feels threatened.
Yes.
You can say it we in a world now where you could say something nice and it still could be threatening.
Mm-hmm. True.
So what I'm saying is this. I know we love Diddy for all of the stuff that he's done, all the inspiration he's given us. This is down the third. But this is some weird shit.
Yeah.
And
that's all I wanted to admit.
Yeah.
Like, to be honest with you, when I saw the Cassie video, I was like, this nigga fucked up. He in trouble. Yeah. But, and I also thought he should have just fucking paid
his her. Ego got in the way.
He should. He,
but it's not just, but see, that's the thing. It's like, he's at the point now where it's like, all right, it's like, if you pay one, you got to pay all. And there's only been so much that could go around.
If you paid her before she filed the lawsuit.
But it's not just her, though. It's also not her.
But what I'm saying is that we don't know. We settle shit every day in the music business.
Absolutely.
We just don't put it out.
But this ain't music shit, though. This is not music shit.
Yeah.
Like, this.
What the fuck is he doing with the baby oil?
She let him.
I really want to know.
$1,000.
That's the only thing I'm like.
Baby oil.
You know what he's doing with the baby oil?
Yeah.
Nigga. How much baby oil do you need?
Everybody has seen Booty Talk 345. Like, come on, bro. You know what he's doing with the baby oil?
Oh, man.
Most of the time, no man lasts 10 minutes in any of them movies. The only man that lasts that long is the nigga.
Right, we going to hurt you.
And that's why they got the loot. Right. They don't feel nothing.
I'm just saying, like, now, you know, not for real, because all this shows me is, like, it was all good just a week ago. Last year, he got the key to the city. I seen him at the Breakfast Club, spoke to him. We took a flick together. Mm-hmm. He was doing, everybody was celebrating this album. And then now the thing is that people looking at it like, yo, bro, if this has been going on for 30 years, they're now looking at everybody else who was around. Like the Dawn thing who says that he hit Cassie and everybody just kept eating their food. Yeah. It's bad.
And what else messed him up? So Cassie gave him the call. She warned him. I have a tell-all book. You can have the licensing rights. I'll go quietly. $35 million. He said, fuck you. And she filed the lawsuit. Now you file. And what you don't know, this is a civil case. They can take all the evidence found in a civil case and use it against you. And so that was dumb in the first place. Your ego got in the way. You could have walked away scotch-free. Cassie wouldn't have said nothing. She would have had her. Because now you had to pay.
But wait a second.
Now you're paying the piper.
But let me ask you. Let me pose a hypothetical.
She had to pay Cassie. Now he got to serve
time. Let me pose a hypothetical question, though. Even at the same time of us saying if he would have paid her and all that. That still don't mean that all other people was getting hurt.
But if you saw her get paid, and one day filing a lawsuit, you start thinking, what the fuck did he do to me?
Oh yeah, it's people just coming up, we're not gonna lie. Of course,
he stepped on my foot.
Yeah, no, it's going to be all types of stuff that transpires through this. All I'm saying now is, like, one thing I've learned working in music for 21 years is I praise none of these men. I don't know them. They're not my friends. You know what I mean? Like, all I what I get from them is what they present. But once they get into all the other shit, like, I ain't even, like, what I feel personally, that's out the window. That's null and void. It's no argument you can have, because Boosie, you know what's crazy? I never ever met Boosie. I love Boosie.
Me too.
I love Boosie for the person that he is.
The person he is, yep.
You know what I'm saying? But the thing about it is, like, yo, bro, I hear what you're saying, and I get where you coming from, but that doesn't necessarily mean what was going on. As much as I don't know this nigga. I don't know him.
Okay,
a lot of people do a lot of shit when they close that door. People close their door, people in all types of stuff.
But I want to say this, though. Look at it from this standpoint.
Facts.
Listen, I don't think when the Cassie lawsuit got filed, I don't think if you ask all three of us, we all in the music industry, we know a lot, do you think that he ends up in jail? We all would have been like, no way.
No. We also wasn't privy to certain type of information.
No. But what I'm saying is that.
Even in
the information that was let out, like when you hear freak off, sex trafficking, let's be clear. From what I know, and I might be wrong, you're a lawyer, Senza. If I meet a girl and I'm like, yo, won't you go meet to New York? And she like, cool. And she like, but I can't work. I'm gonna miss work. And you know this happens all the time. You miss work, you'd be like, how much you gonna miss from work that day? 300. How much you need for a babysitter? 400. 100. Here go $400 for you to be covered. Now come on a trip. I just sex trafficked her. I gave her money for a babysitter and the money she was missing. And now it looks like, now here's the worst part about it. This is why it's fucked up. Because if he filmed everything, it wouldn't have been a problem. If he filmed everything, nigga, what I'm saying is that sex workers on OnlyFans, what are they doing?
All right, wait.
That's legal, right? Why is what he did legal? Because he wasn't monetizing it for the government to make money off of it.
I'm not going to go there.
No, I think, you know, and one of the theories is that because Diddy, they do know that Diddy's houses were heavily surveilled, like similar to Jeffrey Epstein's island. So, you know, everything is being recorded. When he was moving around and his jets were moving, but he wasn't on them, it was alleged that those tapes from his home were on those planes being sent to places where the government couldn't extradite the tapes. So that's what people are saying. But he did have evidence of it. And that's the evidence he was using to blackmail
I'm going to ask you a question. Like, how many people right now, famous people, powerful people, successful people, are scared to death? Because here's the only thing that happened that we don't factor in. Cassie accuses Puff of certain things. Everybody's like, whoa, what? Oh, God. He paid her. Oh, God, he paid her. What you did was you gave the feds a chance to say, now we have probable cause to look in your house. So they kept kicking all his houses, all his doors at the same time, and they take everything. Now they got evidence to go against you. So I think that, I believe that they're holding, I'm afraid for them. Yeah. This feels like some Jeffrey Epstein, hey nigga. Cause I really believe once you get to a certain level, they start being like, hey nigga, if you're gonna participate, you know the only way out is death, right? Don't throw us under the bus.
Jeffrey Epstein was a horrible person.
No, I'm not saying he wasn't.
Let's kind of change gears. I didn't get the chance to say what I wanted to say.
One thing that I learned, one of my friends is currently facing a situation in the feds. And one of the things that his lawyer told me and his family was, the feds don't have to catch you to catch you, right? I hear that it's videos and this, that, and the third, and he wasn't monetizing, but guess what? All them videos, if they have all these videos, clearly these videos don't clear his name.
No, but they probably incriminate others.
But even if they incriminate others, clearly these videos, if it was just as simple, or having an orgy is not illegal. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, can I finish? Okay, go ahead.
Clearly these videos, that if it was as simple, because everybody says, oh, check the tape. If the tapes were so clean and clear and it wasn't nothing going on that they could not use, then it wouldn't be nothing. I don't think that this case was built off of Cassie. The feds been building something against him. We ain't even talk about the Tupac shit and Keefe D and all that other stuff that them been, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of things that people been looking at Puff for a lot of different things for the big, since as long, half more than half of my life. You feel me? So I just think that we all have to take our personal biases, our personal feelings, how we feel about the man's music and all of that out of the case right now, because this ain't got nothing to do with us. It has something to do with him and the government. Until that man's name is clear or until he gets sentenced, we don't really have a, we don't have no horse in the race for real. Like,
but let me get the other side. Everything you said is right. An orgy is not illegal. But that doesn't mean I want you to, you want to know who's there. And what I'm telling you is that if they got footage, it can be like, it could be the same thing with Cassie. Hey, look, bro, we don't want to embarrass you on your friends. So you could take this, his 10 years. Now you don't tell on nobody else on the tapes. Or we go after you and we start listening.
Oh, no, he's going to have to cooperate. Yeah. He has to get out, bro.
And that's why I said Jeffrey Epstein. Because now it becomes scary. Because now it's like, if you at the house, you like, it. By the way, it ain't niggas that's going to go to jail. It's just niggas that don't want the world knowing I was there having fun.
I want to give a word of advice to everybody who wants to be in music or the people that's in music and all of that. Take your ass home. Go home.
Get a wife.
Yeah, get a wife.
Nobody
has
ever
gotten
in trouble with his wife being next to him.
Stop. Yeah, stop hanging with these niggas. Like, and it's not just about Puff. It's about overall. Go home, bro.
Go home. All I'm saying is this, is that I think that it's deeper. I'm afraid for him, and I'm afraid for the game. Between that and all of these changes happening, shit feels like we in Armageddon for the music industry. Like, it's scary. Like, it's like, bro, the Puff Daddy is in jail right now.
Bill Cosby was in the feds. He's in there with all the Mac ballers. Bill Cosby was in the feds, man. Like, Bill Cosby was in the feds with the Macs, bro.
We're going to change it a little bit. So a lot of the press conferences have been mentioning R. Kelly because it's similar charges. Well, some of the charges are similar to what R. Kelly was accused of. Is it possible to separate the art from the artist?
Well, I'm going to just say this about R. Kelly. R. Kelly deserved to be in jail. He deserves it. A tape leaked. A tape leaked of him actually having sex with a little girl, and he got off. Mm-hmm. And if you watch Surviving R. Kelly, he still was fucking with young girls. Nigga, you got off. Go home. And I think that's what happened with Puff. I think that's why they went after Puff and they didn't go after Russell yet. Because Russell was like, I'm gone. I'll talk to y'all later. I ain't got nothing. I'm fucked up. I'm gone. And Puff is still walking around here like love. In this case, love ain't going to win in the end. It always, you know what I say? Oh, love always wins in the end. It ain't going to win now.
That's life in prison. The sex trafficking is 15 to life. And then the transportation for prostitution and carries 10 to 15 years. Fried. So yeah, he's fried.
They're gonna make him an offer.
The difference between
no, they're not. Separating. I don't think they're gonna offer him anything. I don't think a plea deal will be, because I think that they have enough to bury him. I don't think that they're gonna offer a plea deal. Attorneys may seek one, but I think they do.
You know why? Because it adds to the conviction rate. I think they go to him and say 5 years in jail, 5 to 10, and you gotta tell on nobody. I believe they did the same thing to Einstein, and they said 20 to 30, and he was like, fuck that, I'm killing myself. Mm-hmm. I just don't know.
I don't think he killed himself. But the difference between R. Kelly situation you asked about separating the artist from the art, the difference between R. Kelly versus a Diddy, of course, you know, this is day two of us finding out everything. Right. R. Kelly's music was centered around what he was caught doing.
Mm, you know what I mean? Good, like, bro. I like this. That's a good. I wouldn't thought about that. That's a great point.
No, for real. His music, you know what I mean?
What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Coastal Referee. And I want to ask you, are you ever frustrated with uploading a video to YouTube and you get no views? I know I was when I first started. If you're a music artist and you have your own podcast or your content creator, look no further. WAM Promotions has gotten you covered. They specialize in high-end targeted YouTube campaigns that deliver real views, real subscribers, and most importantly, real growth. So if you're struggling with real organic YouTube growth, I'm here to tell you to go on WAM Promotions and use the promo code GODS and receive 20% when you check out. Tell them Ray sent you, you got 20% off. Let's go, guys. I'm looking to see you guys on the charts. Let's go.
I mean, like me personally, his music came out when I was a kid. The only song I really liked from him was I Believe I Can Fly because of Space Jam. I never really was into his music like that. But when you listen to his music, you know, music is art and it paints a canvas. And when you listening to things and then you thinking about the things or you reading the things, it's like, damn. Like, so that does hit different. Then you have the people who absolutely don't care. They think that the girls is lying. The parents sent them there, whatever the case may be. If the parents sent them there, everybody's still wrong. When it comes to Puff, like when it comes to Diddy, when it comes to Puff, mm-hmm. I think that this is the first situation that we've seen of this magnitude. Russell Simmons is behind a lot of people's music, but Russell Simmons wasn't on the records. He wasn't dancing in the videos. He wasn't, you know what I mean? I just think that the biggest takeaway from this is that you're not safe. If you do wrong shit, look at all of the biggest people. Suge Knight and they're both behind bars. Like I said, Bill Cosby, you know what I mean? He ended up in the feds, you know what I'm saying? Epstein, R. Kelly, you feel me? Like, and again, every nigga that get locked up is not Malcolm X. They're not fighting this righteous cause and then everybody just takes them down. Because I had a debate with somebody before and they was like, oh, but you know, when you see them taking down these black men, and I'm like, yo, bro, you act like, I'm going to keep it 100 as much as I love being black. Everybody who's hurt me, harmed me, did me wrong, look just like me. So I'm not the biggest person that's going to say, now I love my people, but I ain't going to act like my people can't do wrong. Yeah. You feel me? So I think that this is the first time we've ever seen something like this. I think as things go on and once this trial starts, it is going to start to shape and change the perception that we do have of Puff.
I just want
to
say one thing. My opinion is based on today. If a surviving Diddy comes out, because I ain't going to lie to you, when I saw the surviving R. Kelly, and when you hear the stories of women saying they had to be locked in, that's different. Locking you in a room, you got to pee in a bucket. Like, you got to eat in the food in the same bucket. That is human, that's demoralizing. From what I heard, outside of the underage girls and outside of the intimidation, but intimidation can be read so many different ways. You could just feel like if I told him no, he was going to take it from me. Did I tell you that, though? You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to say, so it's like intimidation becomes like when I heard it, they're like, he was giving people drugs. Listen, when you come into the party, everybody's looking for the drugs.
I don't do drugs, man, so I can't relate.
And the alcohol, everybody is. It's just the way.
I don't do drugs.
The problem is that it was an entire.
I just started.
You know, he has a man for this. He has a person for this. He has a person for this. You know, he has the person to call to get the girls on the plane. He got a man for the drugs. He got, so it is, he is an operation.
This is where the whole racketeering RICO shit comes in. Because all you have to do is when you use the money that you've earned from something to do something illegal. Yeah. That's the RICO. Like, you know what I mean? It's no different than like when it is different, but like when 6ix9ine, like these dudes was operating recklessly in the streets. But all the dudes that was operating recklessly, all they had to say was, oh, one show pays for a gun that one of them uses for something else. One check that Diddy got from
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Something, if he paid for a flight, if he paid for a meal, if he paid for drugs, and all it takes is for people to not be with the program. And sometimes people is with the program, but at the moment that they not, you got to be accountable
for
your actions.
They with the program until the program no longer works for them, and then they play victim.
We also don't know that it is people who have been hurt by these type of situations. So I do want to be sensitive.
That's
to
what I'm about
people
to say. I don't. All the details I know today. From what I heard, because I actually listened to the DA.
Yeah.
But I was a big fan of Billions. I don't know about you, but I was a big fan of Billions. Mm-hmm. And when you watch Billions, this whole eight seasons or six seasons, however season it was about a DA chasing a billionaire. So was this personal? Was this, I'm gonna get you down? Was this late, like, you know, like if you watch Billions, like the first episode is basically Chuck Rose character telling Billy Axelrod character, don't buy that $100 million house. Yeah. You buy it, I'm gonna, if you put yourself in the headlines, I'm coming after you. He bought the house, he came after him. Do you think that it was somebody that was like, yo, tell him, just don't come back to New York, be low, just get quiet, and he didn't. Because there's nowhere in the world that you offer someone $50 million as a bond and say, I'm going to go home, I'm going to do this, here's everything, and they say...
I think it's a message.
He offered no women visitors.
That's a
no females in the house?
He offered no women visitors.
That's a message in itself, and that's showing, because the court could look at that as insulting. Like, we can't be bought, you know?
That's true.
So why would we take...
Because I heard his crime, the top... I heard his crime, the average bail is about $250,000. So you offered $50 million.
Yeah, oh, go so home. So they just like... Home, we can't Roger. Be, if, we, home, if they bro, accepted like, that, it would have looked like the court crazy, system could have been bought. So they couldn't accept
but,
it.
That's true. But what I'm saying to y'all is this, is that something feels fishy. And if I was at one of those parties, if I mess with one of those prostitutes, we are all three in the music business. We speak about 3% of what we know. You understand what I'm trying to say? But imagine those people. Imagine a nigga like, who name? Because once that happens, your career is over with. See, we don't live in a world where they let it play out, where you know, and say everyone's innocent till proven guilty. If one of those names come out, if they on a TV show, they getting let go. If they on something, so everybody is like, what this nigga gonna do?
Guess what, Ray? I'm just happy my name ain't gonna be.
Me too.
You heard?
Right. Let's go. That's real.
All right, we saw Kevin Lyles step down. Is it an end of an era from him stepping down from 300?
Yes and no. I think the era of 300, they got a lot of wins. 300 has a ton of wins. But I don't feel like Kevin Lyles at 300 is not Kevin Lyles at Def Jam. It's two totally different guys. Leo Cohen, same thing. You know what I mean? I think at the point of where Kevin Lyles is, I mean, I'm 41 years old. I don't know how old Kevin Lyles is, but I be sick of this shit every day too. You feel me? So I could understand you cashing out and being like, oh, I'm cool. You know what I mean? Like, and music has always been a means to find other avenues to invest in. I seen a billionaire say, I didn't make money by having money in the bank. I made money by making money and investing my money. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure Kevin Lyles has a lot of, he's a very, very smart guy. I'm pretty sure he has a lot of different things that he's gonna invest in. For the people who think that this is all tied together and it's all connected, it's not, timing is bad, right? Because
it's cleansing time. It's time for a cleanse.
It is, but I think, you know, because you know you get the conspiracy theorists on Twitter that's like, oh man, the Diddy thing happens and then Kevin Lyles stepped down. It's because he's in it. Nah, I don't think it's nothing like that. I just think that Kev is, you know, is probably at a different place in his life and he's ready to just move on to different things.
I think it's the clear end of an era. I think that when I saw that Hitch Daily Double article, I knew that Kevin Lyles and 300 was done. When they leak a story to the media saying what they said in that interview, where it was like basically Julie used her influence to get a big payday for Kev and herself. And, you know, at that moment, they was basically saying, oh, y'all think nice Julie or legendary Julie didn't deserve to be this? She got a piece of that deal. Whenever that deal is, that means that if they say that deal is bad, how do you make the deal not bad? It's something else they said. They said that Meg is gone. So they don't have Meg. Think about it. You pay $400 million and your two biggest artists. Meg is gone and Thug is on trial. And then Gunna is fighting to be where he once was again. When you look at it from that standpoint, on the record sales side.
I want to just interject real quick, but keep your thought.
Go ahead.
It ain't Gunna, like Gunna's better than he's ever been doing.
No, I was about to say. I'm glad you said that. His story is selling. His story is bringing chairs out. But his last album, his last two albums that he drops since he's been out,
The second one, if I'm not mistaken, was half the first one, first week.
So that means he's losing momentum. I can see why, though,
so, Exactly. So the first album, I think he did like 100.
Yeah, he did like 116.
Exactly. And the second album, he did like 60, which means that that says decline to the money people. The money people like, where are we going to get our money back from? So what I think, what you do in the case where you're buying, because let's say 300 is bringing in $30 million a year. If you're spending $20 million on salaries and signings, we only really making 10.
Yeah.
I'd rather give me that 30, cut it back, and let me get my 400 million over time.
Yeah.
So I think I knew that by that article, 300 was in trouble, and Kevin just stepped down. And I'm looking to see, I'm expecting more of that to happen because they didn't even appoint a position. Like, don't forget, we all started because they said Craig and Julie are stepping down and Elliot is stepping up.
Yeah.
They just said Kevin's stepping down, but these two people will be here. Raina and Celine will be here.
Right.
Nigga, what does that mean? Mm. Like, I go to Raina for one thing, Celine for one thing. I come to you for everything.
Well, I mean, I think it's also a changing of the guard. Like, Raina, I remember when she left from Def Jam and went over to 300, and she'd been putting in that work. You know what I mean? She's elevated.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I remember about 7 years ago, she was in a cubicle. Now she, you know, corner office. You feel me? So it's like she's been stepping her game up, and I think that the relationship she has with Kev and, you know, the whole team, they really showed her, you know what I mean, that they wanted her too.
Yep.
So there's so many skills that she may have that people might not be privy to, that she might have been running this drink for the past 3 years.
But then if that's the case, in the press release, they would have said, Raina is taking the CEO reins.
Yeah, I do get that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they would have done that. They didn't even do that.
And
so
Celine,
it's
too.
Like,
I got to give props to Celine,
for
too.
Sure.
Like, they've been putting in work. So I do believe that, you know, Kev, even with a situation like that, even though you're cashing out, you do want to leave your baby in the hands of somebody that you know can take care of it.
No, it's not his baby anymore. He sold it.
He did sell it.
So it's not even his. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's kind of like you sell your company. Once you sell your company, you put yourself in a position to get fired. I think he stepped down before they could fire him.
Mm.
That's what I believe happened. I believe that he couldn't get maybe. First of all, Kevin has been in the game 30 years.
Yeah.
And now you make him a report to a 30-year-old. How disrespectful is that to my career? Like, you know what I'm trying to say? What does it look like? He's younger than my employees that report to me. You know what I'm saying? So I think that this is what they do in the music biz. They don't tell you to go, Wayno. They just turn the lights on.
Oh, no, I already know.
And then they don't tell you to go, they just put the music on.
Let me ask you a question. Because I want to give Elliot Grange, right?
Yep.
I know a lot of people are critical of him and his skill set because of who his dad is. But he did build something.
He's great.
But what I'm saying is this, right? Like, I feel like there's, for yourself, I know that me and you can have conversations and you can say, oh, Wayno, I can learn from you.
Yeah.
And vice versa. I learn from you every time I'm around you. But do you think that the way it's packaged up and the way it's delivered to the masses, how everybody's seeing it, what you just said with him saying, oh, man, I ain't answering the mobile. Is that ego? Because one thing I could say about Elliot is this.
I like where this conversation goes.
One thing I could say about Elliot is this. I never worked with the brother. I know a ton of my friends work with him, and he even made a lot of people I love rich. What I will say is that while he might not have the same take on what it was 30 years ago, he did crack somewhat of a code
for
what has been in the past 10.
Period.
So even, you know, nepotism and all of that, his dad and all that's cool, but is he the right man for the job, in a sense?
Well, here's what I'm about to say. Here's the only thing that makes it a little weird, is that we didn't grow up together. We didn't grow up together. But I guarantee you we grew up with the same struggles.
Absolutely.
Which makes us friends, relatable, understand each other. He didn't have to do that. He stepped off. He's like Bronny. He stepped off and got drafted. Whose daddy was? By the way, that's good.
I love where this is.
That's good for him.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that you still let the world know. Y'all old niggas can go. Everybody old. Anybody want to talk about the old? Y'all can go because the old niggas is gone too.
So what do y'all think it means for 300 and the?
If I had to make a guess, and I hate to do this because I got some friends over there, I think 300 is gonna be folded in the next. I'm looking to it to be folded before the year's up.
So before this year's out?
I think it's gonna be folded. I think it's gonna be folded. I think it's gonna be folded into Atlantic. Not dropped, just kinda folded into Atlantic.
and they're going to make Atlantic staff handle 300 artists, and they're going to me, they're going to keep the best of the best out of 300 and let everybody else go.
That's the same thing that they did when I was at Asylum. You know, Asylum, you know, in the mid-2000s, Mike Jones, Gucci, Dipset.
This is when over Joey IE and
when Joey IE was over there, yeah, and, you know, Asylum ended up becoming an incubator system for Atlantic.
Atlantic, yep.
So we would sign stuff, and like, or Atlantic would sign stuff, and if it's not ready for Atlantic staff,
Asylum worked it.
We worked it, and then once it gets to that point, you can upstream, or then you just go back over the way you signed that. Yes. So I could see something like that.
And now that can happen with 300, but I still think that, listen, man, I just noticed to be a fact. When Elliot came on, there was employees who had been there for 10 years plus that made that company millions of dollars. I said, I just want to meet with Elliot, and Elliot declined to meet with them. Now, I know that for a fact because they called me. Like, he didn't want to meet with me. What that tells you something. That means, it's like, I might not want to fuck with Wayno, but because I've been in the game long enough, I know I still don't want an enemy out of him. He don't even care if he was enemy. I'm playing in such a big game, like he done jumped over everybody. So to me, that's what makes it slightly scary, and I say the end of an era, because he has no responsibility to nobody. Think about that. Like, his dad put him on. Who do you report to? Like, who can you say, man, you remember we came up together? I seen Stanza when she was an intern. Now she's a lawyer now. Damn, that, like, those years add to the relationship. He don't have that with nobody. He's a straight businessman. And when I heard how he got the job, this is what I heard. I don't know if this would be a fact, because I didn't hear it from the horse's mouth. But I heard what he did was he came into Atlantic. He kind of knew what was going on from Len Blavatnik, the owner of Warner Worldwide, the billionaire. He knew what was going on from his son. His son knew that they were losing money. His son knew the inside. So he put together a plan on how he can make Atlantic Records $100 million in the first 6 months of his leadership. How the fuck you think he gonna do that? You start dropping shit.
That's
my point. So but I couldn't do that. You couldn't do that.
No,
like, niggas gonna be looking at us like, wait no nigga, but we did this and you still get rid of me. Oh man, we was back at Def Jam. He don't have none of that.
He don't have
no attachment. You don't remember me? No, I don't.
But that's the thing, I think, and I'll say this in closing because I know we're going to move on, but see, the thing with us is like, all the things that make us great, we take this shit home with us.
True.
And that's the toughest part. A lot of them, when they take it home, like when they don't take it home, like it's not a part of their Saturday or Sunday. Mm-hmm. You know, we on the grill talking about the job, you know what I'm saying? Yep.
But we don't have, do you think we have, I don't think we have that luxury.
We don't because we've always been in survival mode.
Right. But, you know. All right.
Because Lucian ain't not that. By the way, I want my son to have those benefits. Absolutely. So I'm not mad at nobody. I heard Elliot is great, but they just shown you what happens when they bring in businessmen and not peers. That man came in and did business. Everybody can go. I'll start over. I'll keep your shit, by the way. Right. He kept what he wanted, sent everybody else home. That's it. I do think it's the end of an era, and I do think that that I don't know what the business is going to look like in the next 5 years, which is scary to me because I make my money in this business. That's the only thing scary. What's next?
That's a great way to end. Next topic. We're talking about, first, your top five hip-hop movies of all time. Starring rappers.
Starring?
Yes. Starring rappers.
I got mine written down.
Yeah, I got mine written down, too.
You want to go first? You want to go first?
I only got one. I could go
What's
first.
Yours?
Let's go one for one.
All right, cool.
All right,
I'll put mine in order.
My only one is Players Club.
That's not on my list. I want to tell you something. Let me just tell you one thing I did for my list that I regulated myself. I didn't put the same rapper twice.
Mm,
so
okay.
People like Tupac, Queen Latifah, Ice Cube, actors that have really done it, LL Cool J, I was like, I want to select one movie from their catalog.
I actually didn't do that either, and I didn't try to.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So my number five
is
Eminem 8 Mile.
Okay, my number five is Who's the Man? Who's the Man? I love it, Dr. Dre. You know, it had every rapper.
The reason I can't say Who's the Man is because I don't remember who the man was. I remember the movie, but I don't remember the ending.
You don't remember the ending?
I just remember they was real silly and they was being set up by somebody. They was dumb cops.
The guy was trying to get the spot from them. Yeah. And he shot the floor and then the oil popped up. They ended up becoming the man. Like,
oh, see.
They had the oil rig in Harlem, you know what I mean?
Oh,
so
yeah, they had oil in Harlem.
Yeah, yeah. So who's the man?
From Harlem.
There it goes.
Hey, but it's not because I'm from Harlem.
No, it's okay.
It's not because I'm from Harlem.
It's okay.
I was living in the Bronx when this movie came out.
Still love Harlem.
Yeah,
I
love the Bronx too.
Okay, so you got to go to number four.
My number four is 8 Mile. One of the greatest movies, hip-hop movies all time. Undisputed.
Made me love Eminem like never before. Facts. I love Eminem because that movie. My number four movie was, I'm going to get you with this one.
What?
Four Brothers.
Four Brothers? Oh, yeah.
Andre 3000. And Marky Mark.
And Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Hey!
Yeah.
That's two.
People don't know about Marky Mark.
Marky,
he is
you don't
a rapper.
Know about Good Vibrations.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would say, but I when I say Four Brothers is because that shit was hard. And they had Tyrese in it too.
Damn.
Yeah, Tyrese was it, yeah.
I got an honorable mention, but I'll just wait till
okay,
the
it's my turn. Four. Go, you gotta do
I did four, you did.
Now
you
no,
I gotta do my three.
Oh, you do your three. Okay.
So my number, I'm gonna just for conversation. Five is 8 Mile, four is Four Brothers. Number three. Oh, I'ma say Juice.
Okay. I see your Juice and I raise it to my number three. My number three is, if you're looking for Z's, take your bitch ass down to the Snooty Fox. This is the spot. Now get the fuck out of my face. The Wash. Yes. Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg.
I didn't think of that
the
one.
Wash.
That's one of my favorite movies.
That's
too.
A classic, bro. The
That's
whole.
One of my favorite movies.
The
too.
Whole Interscope is in that movie,
yes.
Bro.
Yes, it's one of my favorite movies too. So hold on. So who's your. Give me your five through three.
My, so far, I got Who's the Man, 8 Mile, The Wash.
What's your two?
Oh, my two. Now I'm up my two.
Yeah.
This was tough. This was tough. This was very, very tough. But my number two is How High, Redman and Method Man.
Oh, I didn't think of that one. I love that.
How High is a classic,
that.
Bro.
That is a classic.
How High came out when I was 18.
I shouldn't have been watching it as a kid.
Yo, Ray, quick little backstory.
You don't even smoke.
Quick, I don't even smoke. Quick little backstory.
Okay.
This is when I was working in the mailroom in the Universal Music Group building. They was doing the screenings for it, so I got to see it like three times before it came out. I was 18.
Wow.
I was so How High was one of my favorite drinks ever.
I love it.
Okay, so I'm gonna give you my number two. Then you get your one. And I get my one.
All right.
My number two is Set It Off.
I'm
in a bind.
I'm
in a bind right now. Like, and let's be clear, Queen Latifah.
Queen Latifah
killed that. That's when
Absolutely.
That movie is when she became. A real actress. Like, I feel like they knew she was an actress, but that was a movie where they was like, oh no, she can act.
Okay, and that was your
number two.
That was your two.
Yeah, your two.
My number one.
No, your number two was How High. Okay.
How High.
So give me another five through two again then before you go.
Who's the
one.
Man, The Wash. No, Who's the Man, 8 Mile, The Wash, and How High.
Okay. Give me the number one. I gotta hear this.
My number one is actually a movie that you picked.
Oh shit.
It's actually a movie you picked. I think you're number four. But this is my number one because it is defining to who Tupac Shakur is as an artist in his totality.
My number two movie, Juice.
Juice. I was more afraid of Bishop than Freddy Krueger as a kid.
Woo! That's real.
That's a fact.
He played the fuck out that role.
I was, bro, when that nigga looked, when he hugged Raheem's mother,
and he said,
somebody shot Raheem.
Yep.
When he hugged Raheem's mother and looked at Q, I was like, no, nah, bro.
So I ain't gonna lie, when I was...
That was a horror film.
Yeah,
that's
well,
a horror film. Juice is a horror film.
As I look at it, I couldn't figure out, I was like, what Tupac movie, Above the Rim? But I'm like, because I ain't gonna lie, his character in Above the Rim was really my nigga compared to the character in Juice.
Yeah, Birdie.
Birdie was my nigga, but my number one movie, I got him. I was hoping he wasn't gonna say it. Boys in the Hood.
Boys in the Hood.
Yeah.
Nigga, that shit. Doughboy. From the beginning to the end. By the way, Boys in the Hood to me is what, Boys in the Hood to black people is what The Godfather was to Italians.
Mm.
Like, that was the first time you got a real insight to who, like, even Menace to Society, like, Old Dog was scary, but we didn't know, like, nigga was killing niggas in the middle of the street. Burger, pa, kill him. Who want a burger? It's like, somebody, it's a dead body down there. Like, oh, now the police looking for that body? Is this... You know what I mean? It was just kind of like, they were just rebels without a cause, murders was happening, and it was nothing then. But with Boys in the Hood, it's like you could tell John Singleton was trying to say, I'm going to tell a hood black America story, but if you're not black from America, you're going to watch this shit and hear what it's like to be black in America. So when you see the father on the corner talking about
gentrification. That was the first time we ever heard what gentrification was. That's it was like, fact. You see the father, you see the difference between when the father's in the house.
John Singleton.
John Singleton. Genius, yeah. That's what blew him and Ice. Well, Ice Cube was already a star, but that's what made Ice Cube.
Because
I was
going
to give it to Friday.
Yeah.
And when you said Players Club, I was like Ice Cube, but I was like, nah. Ice Cube don't have a more iconic character than Doughboy.
So one of the things, I'm going to give one honorable mention, and it's only because you brought up Four Brothers, I immediately thought of Andre 3000. I got to go semi-pro. Semi-pro with Will Ferrell.
He didn't star in it. He was in it, but like on Four Brothers, he was on the cover.
Yeah, he was on the cover.
He was one of the Four Brothers. Semi-pro was a Will Ferrell movie. That's why I didn't go there.
Who do y'all think?
But let me just give you honorable mentions. Okay. I got to give ATL, just because it's ATL. I have to, and I got to give New Jack City.
Yeah.
But to me, it was more about Nino than it was Ice-T.
It was.
That's why I like.
You know, Ice-T, I'll be sure. It was an all-star cast.
And I feel like the reason why I went to Four Brothers was because I feel like Dre played himself, like a father. Like, the part where he's in the house, they're at war, he's like, and he tells them right before they get attacked, I got to go to my kids. And then they start shooting, and then you see him get scared.
Yeah.
Nigga. That
now, Dre's,
and when he killed the dude, he said, I'm trying to get on my kids.
Yeah.
And then they was about to hit his brother. And then he sacrificed the Volvo to save his brother.
That was a great film.
It was just like, was I just felt film. Like that.
There's so many honorable mentions.
But I ain't got a lot of honorable mentions, like House Party. I just didn't feel like it was a lot of life lessons in House Party.
It wasn't, but I mean, some stuff is just for that. It's like comedy.
I ain't gonna lie, that was another reason why I picked, I was like,
class act.
There was a lesson in Juice.
I don't know.
There
was a lesson in Friday, but I like Friday After Next.
No.
Friday After Next is one of the greatest Christmas movies.
Yes. It is a Christmas movie.
We should do that. We got to do that next.
We got to do Christmas
movie. Yeah, I like that.
We got to do Halloween movies because Halloween coming up.
Absolutely.
Black Halloween. We got to get to that.
Definitely a Christmas movie.
Yeah, but I ain't going to lie.
Who do you think, which rapper was the best rapper turned actor or actress?
Best rapper turned actor. Damn. All right, wait.
It's between two people to me.
Okay.
Who?
Tupac.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Queen Latifah.
Mm. Yeah.
Like the reason I say that is because they were big enough to be on the billing. Like Ice Cube was on the billing, but those are all Cube Vision movies, so he kind of put himself there. Kudos to Cube. But to me, Cube always played Cube. Like, I've never seen a different version. He always played Cube. He always played like a solid, real man.
Even though Are We There? Yeah, he did. Like, it was like, Cube as an older dad.
Even on Friday, he still was like, what's up, Triple OG? But he wasn't like scary.
Yeah.
Like, he was kind of scary on Friday After Next, when he was like, we'll pay you, Damon. But like, I feel like he was trying to exaggerate. But to me, I would have gave it a Cube, but I feel like, I watched Tupac in Poetic Justice. I watched him in Juice, Above the Rim. He really embodied.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he was Birdie.
Yeah.
I thought he was Bishop.
Yeah.
And I say Queen Latifah because she actually became a star.
Facts.
Just Right. The movie with her and the movie with her and Steve Martin.
Bring it down.
She played roles. So that I would say those two.
I say Pac, because Pac also, as much as he hated police, he played the cop in Gridlock. You know what I mean? Like Pac had a level of depth to him. Like when we found out, you know, of course I was a kid when Tupac was doing all these different things. You know what I mean? But everything from being a part of Digital Underground and Nothing But Trouble, right? To him being in Gridlock, to Bullet, he has so much depth to where when Pac died, I never looked at Pac as a gangster. I looked at Pac as an artist in his purest form. Like the person that he was, because I used to be like, oh, he's a contradiction, but like everybody's, oh, he's a contradiction, but so is everybody. We all are contradictions. We all are hypocrites in our own right, depending on the day of the week. But Pac, his depth that he was able to give, you know what I'm saying? And knowing that he could have played Baby Boy. He could have played Jody and Baby Boy. My second one, I want to say Cube, but we said best rappers.
Turn actor. Turn active. See, he got to put the word emphasis on there.
I got to move the goalposts.
Let's go. Who?
He didn't get a chance to do but so much, but DMX. I say DMX. Because DMX was wild.
But can I be real with you?
Yeah. And
I love X.
He was getting those opportunities just because he was X.
I think he was also the diet Tupac. He was like Pac Jr. in the movies. It was almost like they gave him the roles that they would have gave Tupac if he was alive.
I know, but we can't, but what?
That's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is like, I feel like those roles were written for Pac, and they was like, he looks like Pac, he wears a...
But... We got
best
rappers. And I
hate to do that because DMX is one of my most...
DMX
is the biggest star in rap history.
Right, so look, as much as I love... Now, Pac, superstar. DMX, superstar. As much as I love Ice Cube was in my era when I was able to understand words and what they meant and what it meant to me. When Dark and Hell Is Hot came out, I was 15. I was outside.
Yes.
Rough Riders Anthem was the song we waited to come on in the parties, the dance with the girls. The girls was dancing to it. There wasn't no twerking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, girls used to have dance moves, man. Yeah. Like,
what happened to that?
Right. But that's another story. But I'll say DMX because DMX, in a short time, he went from, and of course, he was the biggest rap. He was getting all these crazy, a movie with Jet Li because he sold 387,000 records the first week with no video and no single because he was the biggest thing there was. And that was coming off his second album in the same year. Unheard of. You feel me? I gotta go DMX. And I know it's gonna sound crazy. There's gonna be people in the comments like, what the hell is Wayno talking about? But DMX. Because we said rappers. DMX to me was a better rapper than Ice Cube.
X was hip hop's, to me, biggest superstar ever. Like, I don't think. Like organic, like
organic.
Jay is my favorite rapper, but I don't think Jay is a star. He just has coolness, and he's really a good rapper. To me, when Jay-Z tells the story of DMX opening up for him, and
he
starts off with a where my niggas at, and everybody go crazy. Yeah. Then he comes out and he does street records, and all the street niggas going crazy. Then he takes off his shirt, and now the girls going crazy. And he does girl records, and then he starts growling,
and then he starts praying,
and then everybody's crying.
Yeah, that was,
and then you leave.
He's like, I have to follow that up. He's like, nah, I think that's Jay-Z's greatest moment of vulnerability.
Yes, to me. And by the way, I love him for that because
he
gave it to him. And by the way, he said, lights go off, and all you heard was,
yeah, and he like the building.
And the crowd is like,
the building
bark.
Is rumbling.
Like, and he's like, this nigga goes on before me.
Oh, yeah,
I got
yeah.
this my tour.
Nah,
and
crazy.
He growls.
No, he was the biggest, bro. He was the biggest. And the thing was, is because Jay was cool, but he was too cool. You know what I mean? Like, it's certain stuff that he wouldn't do. DMX, if we would have seen DMX walking down the block and we came outside and talked to him, he'd have sat and talked to us for 30 minutes.
And that's why I think he was, to me, I think in order to be rap's biggest star, you have to be the most organic. It's almost like they ain't put no preservatives, nothing in your shit. You just as good. I think X, to me, was the best version of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I got to say he's rap's biggest superstar. We should talk about that, by the way.
Yeah.
That's it for me.
All right.
I want to ask you some God ratings.
Okay.
Wayno, you can ask me too. Let's ask a couple for each other.
Okay.
Let me pull up. I got you. Let me just pull up what I got to,
right.
So we can make sure we know what it is.
You got to cue me up because I don't.
Okay,
so remember, it's
lyrics, flow, hits, catalog, longevity, consistency,
mm-hmm.
influence.
Mm-hmm.
What would you give Big Sean?
Big Sean, lyrics, flow, consistency, influence. I'm giving Big Sean, I'm gonna keep it 100. I'm giving Big Sean a 90.
I was gonna say like an 87.
I'm giving Big Sean a 90.
I just don't think he's been consistent enough.
I think he's really dope. He might have not been consistent enough, but a lot of people took Big Sean shit and ran with it. And Big Sean is... He's such a good brother. He's so modest. I really wish that he was arrogant and disrespectful, because if Big Sean was arrogant and disrespectful, he'd be in the argument for top five rappers.
Honestly. I do. Top five rappers. He really can rap.
He really can rap.
That's why I asked you.
If Big Sean had ASAP Rocky's cockiness, pause, he'd be the biggest
artist in the world.
Yes.
Yeah, because he has the talent. Yeah. You got one for me? Because I got.
Yes, I do. Give me the rundown again.
Lyrics, flow.
Hits,
catalog. Longevity, consistency, and influence. By the way, I gotta give that to you so I can put it on screen so they can know. What we factoring in?
Ooh, man.
What name you gave me? Oh, you about to give me one. Okay.
I'm gonna give you one that probably nobody would ever say or even think of.
Give me one.
The Game.
Oh my God. So I'm gonna preface this by saying I've never been a true West Coast fan of music. Like I like NWA, I like Dre and Snoop, but I'm not a West Coast dude. I'm gonna give Game about an 86. And the reason I'm gonna give him an 86 is because I feel like he had flow. I mean, he had lyrics. That was kind of his superpower.
Oh, he could rap his ass off.
He could rap his ass off, but he didn't have flow. He didn't really give you the melody. 50 gave us the melody. So I gotta give him that. And then I'm gonna say he had hits, so he's up there. He has a great catalog. Longevity, consistency, but I think he lacks on influence. Because when we speak about the biggest West Coast rappers,
they don't bring Game
up. They don't bring him up, and I don't understand why.
I'm gonna tell you why they don't bring him up.
Because he signed the East Coast nigga?
No, it's Game's antics. It's because Game, I mean, 50 Cent created the monster that he was.
Mm-hmm.
50 is the first real hip hop troll. And from 50 trolling, Game learned how to troll.
Yep.
From making G-Unit, from doing 100 bars and running freestyles, rapping for 10 minutes, dissing everybody, from disrespecting Jay-Z and everybody to crying on camera,
true,
to tattooing a butterfly on his face. I think that Game was one of those people that, while he should have been taken serious. I do take Game serious as a rapper, because thing I do know about Game is that nigga loved to rap.
Yes.
But all of those antics in between made people say, eh. He's like Nick Young, you know what I mean? I ain't gonna front, no disrespect to Nick Young because he's a cool dude, but I'm being very nice by calling Nick Young Game. What I say is like Nick Young could give you 45 points like it's nothing, but he play too much. Game play too much.
Mm.
Like if Game ain't play so much, he's another one that could have went down as one of the greatest.
And I
do think West Coast for me, because I didn't, of course I'm not from the West Coast.
What do you rank him, top 10, top 5, top 3?
West Coast. No, he's not top three.
So top three is who?
Top three West Coast?
Yes.
I gotta go Snoop Dogg.
Snoop?
I don't put Tupac West Coast.
Okay,
I just can't.
Good. Give Snoop Dogg, probably Kendrick.
Kendrick Lamar.
And
Snoop Dogg, Kendrick Lamar.
Only other one that could be above him that he might say I could accept. That's Q.
Y'all going off track.
Nah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we going off track. I'm happy you called that one.
We can talk all day, by the way.
Last one.
Agare, and I want you to give me, I got it. Ludacris.
Whoo. Luda.
Would you give Big Sean again?
I gave Luda
a 90.
I gave Big Sean a 90. And this is perfect. You know why this is perfect? Because I'm a New York nigga, but guess where I was at in 1999 and 2000?
In Atlanta,
because my cousin lived down here.
Okay.
And I was in Club SOs with my cousin. And I got to give Ludacris a 92.
Ooh.
I'm going to give Ludacris a 92. I'm going to tell you why I'm going to give him 92. I'm going to tell you where he misses the 8 at, where he could have gone. Reason why I'm going to give Ludacris the 92 is because Ludacris could rap. I think he has one of the best stories in hip hop from going from radio, right? Being a radio personality to rap, selling out the trunk, showing independence, showing that grime. Lyrics, Ludacris was the first person to rap over a Ron Browse beat after Ether with Blow It Out Your Ass.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? Ludacris, when it was time for him to go at it with, and he was the fun guy.
Yes.
He was basically self Busta Rhymes in a sense, but I'll give him an edge on Busta Rhymes because I like Ludacris albums. I didn't really listen to Busta Rhymes
albums. Give me a Busta Rhymes rating. I'm sorry.
Wait, let me finish. Like,
okay, go ahead. Okay, I'm sorry. I love talking to him though.
Let me finish my Luda shit. Luda, great lyricist. Charismatic, he checks off every box as an artist. He's fun, good interviews, energy, all of that. Luda gave up for that movie money, man. If Lou and I love the fact that Luda was able to transpire into something things because I seen when he said he got into that movie money, the money he made from that, he was able to put into his company and put his homies on. He made one of his homies a chef. Shaka is one of my mentors as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, he always gives me kind words of encouragement. But Luda, had he stayed on just rap,
you would have gave him a higher.
Ooh, I'm putting, and this is tough, but and people in Atlanta probably kill me for this, but if he stayed on rap, I'm putting him up there with Jeezy and all that. And Jeezy ain't a better rapper than Luda.
Yeah, he's a better rapper. My Luda rating is a 95.
95.
I would give him, by the way, he graduated class 95 for high school.
Right.
I went to high school with him. He was a couple years older than me. Wow. Yeah, I went to school. But let me just tell you why I say a 95. Because to me, the only thing that stopped him that doesn't give him a higher number is because he didn't cater to the city he was from. Mm. He kind of did his own thing in the city. By the way, I love that. Like, mm-hmm. But I think the reason why people will always rate Tip and Jeezy higher than him is because they were making music for the market that they came out of. Luda was the MC out the market.
Yes.
And Atlanta's really not known for our MCs. Right. We're really known for like our swag, our sauce, but it's never been like, that's why we claim Andre 3000 so much, because it's like we don't really known for like MC, like, and like that we could send to get on a record with Nas and Jadakiss.
Y'all got them, but y'all just love flexing more. That's all it is.
No, that's what's true. That's true. That's true. And by the way, nobody ever celebrated a nigga in Atlanta because of a rap, because of a verse.
Yeah.
We celebrate them because of their music, because of what they mean. So that's why I give my 95. But and by the way, to me, that's the 92 to me was kind of low, but then I understand what you mean by the movies. But to me, I respect what he did in music. She gave us a 2 Chainz. And I can't think of a better feature rapper than him. Mm. Like,
he had a hell of a run.
You can't. I'm sorry, I could do this all day, but
yeah,
you could.
I got like 20 more I want to ask.
I got.
We're going to save it for next episode. Thank y'all for tuning in to That's Debatable, powered by Lucky Energy. Thank you for giving us the freedom to fly. As always, like, share, subscribe, and comment. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your 2 cents. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
That's a wrap. Boom.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.